part one. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
Fuck the shit, fuck the fucking shit, fuck shit, the fuck shit, the shit and fuck shit, fuck the shit, fuck the fucking shit, fuck shit, the fuck shit, the shit and fuck shit.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 62. Part one.
62 part one, John.
That's right.
Check out episode 60 for the Punky special and 61 part two.
Yeah.
For the lovely proper
Mrs. Scott.
Mrs. Scott. Now, my wife set a precedent. Is your wife going to be joining us at any
time? No way
in
hell.
The near future? Never.
Almost caused a divorce last week when I said that your lovely wife participated.
Why
now it's your turn. Listen, I support you in every way. I let you do whatever you want. I don't give you any crap about it. You do your show here. You practice 15 times a week. And blah, blah, blah. I don't want my voice on the air.
Wait a minute. Are you all in right. another band? You practice 15 times a week?
Yeah, I went and jammed with the other guys on Wednesday, remember?
All right, for the reunion.
Yeah.
The catheter reunion, which was really only you, Phil, and Marty.
Marty, right. No reunion, really.
Three of the five. Well, three of the six members, because you
right.
kind of got rid of one of the members.
Axed Weeder.
He was still invited to the reunion. Maybe that's why he didn't show up.
Right.
He was like, F that.
And Kevin's got his own gig. Oh, I should download some of his songs to play on the show.
He's in Texas, right?
He's got originals now, yeah.
Is he doing the acoustic
thing? Yeah, Marty said, he asked Marty, yeah, man, what do you think? Dude, man, you suck. He told him he sucked. That's just not nice.
We'll get Kevin's permission and see if we can play his songs on our show. And then we'll be the judge of that. Now, John, we need a special announcement sound effect. I'm putting you on the spot here. Nominated for Producer of the Year. Is he going to be able to pull it together? There you go. Because we have a special announcement.
We do.
It's huge.
What is it?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is 59 years old today, John.
No.
It's his birthday.
Really?
One of our favorite all-time dudes, I guess you would call
it.
You
can get in the gym, or the most satisfying
thing
you can get in the gym is
no
the pump.
Doubt.
The pump.
The
Let's
pump.
Say you train your biceps. Blood is rushing into your muscles, and that's what we call the pump.
Stop
the
it.
Pump.
Your muscles get a really tight feeling. We like your skin is going
tight.
To explode any minute. You know, it's really tight. It's like somebody blowing air into it.
Ridiculous.
And it feels Correct. Different. It feels fantastic.
You lack discipline. Stop whining. I'm a cop, you idiot!
What's with the creepy music?
It's
Who is your daddy,
as,
and what does he do?
You know, as having sex with a woman and coming.
Stop being
so
such a pussy!
Can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym, I'm getting the feeling of coming at home, I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people, I
Bose.
Get the same feeling, so I'm coming day and night.
One,
and
of
terrific,
in,
right?
One of us is in deep
so,
trouble.
You know, I'm in heaven.
Uncle Bob.
So
shut up!
You'll be hearing Arnold throughout our show today.
Throughout
our
show.
As we dedicate our episode 62 to the great Arnold Governor.
No doubt.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Up. The last one. Up. Okay. Up. Very good. Now we do a warm-up exercise for the neck. We rotate our head in a circular motion, and we start on the left side.
A circular motion.
Left side, back. Right side, front.
Left right side, front.
This exercise develops the front part of your thighs. To begin, stand with your hands on your hips and step forward with your right foot, bending your right knee and lowering your left knee toward the floor.
Toward the floor.
Toward the floor.
Position and repeat the exercise with your left leg. Remember to keep
I
your
got
back
it.
Straight. Beginners got should do 6 repetitions in the immediate 10.
I got it. To
do the motion. How about this one?
Choose a shorter wide grip on the barbell. Remember to breathe in as you lower the weight and to breathe out.
This is it's raining men.
All the way to the chin. We will do 12 repetitions.
12 repetitions.
Okay?
Ready. Admit it, you're totally and completely
start with
gay.
Position at your thighs. Up, down, up,
down,
up, down.
Up,
admit it, you're totally
down,
and completely gay.
Down.
Keep your elbows at the waist.
Down. Up. Down.
Admit it, you're totally and completely gay.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Down.
Do it now.
Up, down.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
Down. Up.
Put a sock
down,
in it.
Five. Down.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Seven. Who is
down,
your daddy?
Answered immediately.
What does he do?
Down. Nine.
Well, you must be very proud of yourself.
Elbows.
Give me
together.
A break and shut up.
Fucking seven. Bullshit.
Put a sock down, in it. Put a sock in
that
it.
Bullshit.
Enough.
You son of a bitch.
You idiot.
Dickhead.
Stop being such a pussy.
Over your head. Your hands should be slightly.
I don't know about you, John, but this is how I got cut.
Your head resting on the
this
bench.
Is how I got ripped.
How you
cut
got
the
ripped.
Shreds with that album that I got of Arnold's.
That album. Over
that's
by
right.
There.
That's right. Oh, no, John.
Oh, God.
Didn't you find a very rare clip of Sons of Butcher?
I did. Yeah.
Did you
I
find
did.
That?
Yeah.
Can you find that? Now, Sons of Butcher starts out the show for us. They do the shit the fuck song.
Yeah.
But John found this very rare clip of the making of Sons of
right.
Butcher.
Yeah.
Fuck the shit
just
song.
Just working out the tune.
Just working out the tune. Yeah. Go ahead and play that whenever you're ready.
There we go. Let's see if I can find it.
Suck my cock. You fucking cocksuck, bitch, cock.
No, that's not working. Hold on. Do it again, man. Do it again.
Shit, the fuck, the fucking shit, fuck, the shit, the fucking shit, fuck, shit, the fucking shit, fuck, fucking shit, fucking shit, fucking shit.
Wow, that yeah, that was out of sight, man.
No doubt.
We also got Green Day too. Go to theirs.
We have Green Day.
Yeah. They were just learning
sure
it. Yeah, it is. They were just learning it, I think. Billy Joel Armstrong was Joel. Billy Joe Armstrong was just learning it.
Was he trying to learn it lefty? Enough of that.
All right.
So
let me,
if you're in a band,
rewind it.
If you're in a band, send us your clips of when you're just learning a song, and we'd love to hear them. And I'm sure we'll hear more of that stuff in the future.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. Send us your clits. I mean, clips of you first learning a song in a band, and we'll play a couple of ours because. It was an interesting gig, wasn't it?
Oh, the gig we had, yeah. It was. And what
speaking
John's referring to is we were back at Arlington Park where the great Stefan. Where the great Stefan from the UK came out and saw us a month ago. We were back at Arlington Park, John.
Back!
We didn't play during the day. We played at night at the off-track betting site at Arlington. So what happens is everybody goes to the races during the day.
Yeah.
The races shut down after the seventh race, and all the hardcore gamblers head over to the off-track betting to wager the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And they can wager all over the world.
They're all fucked up, too, when they get there, man.
Right.
And it was like 98 degrees and 110 with the heat index something.
It was
so fucking hot.
It was hot. It wasn't as hot as the one practice we had in the studio, though.
Oh, that was great, wasn't it? Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was really hot. This wasn't that hot.
You almost sucked me and Rick off to not practice that night.
But it was hot.
Oh, God, please.
At Arlington, it was hot.
It was hot.
And so we met at Rick's around 5. We headed over. John so graciously lent me one of his shirts, loaned me a shirt, because we decided to go with the flame theme.
Look, yeah.
And I didn't have one, so John gave me one.
And Rick got the coolest one I've ever seen, ever.
Ever.
When we were in New Orleans.
Ever.
And it's pretty neat.
Well, and my lovely wife was there.
Yes.
And she was there with some friends, and one of the friends asked her, so what's with the costume? The cowboy hats and those shirts and the sandals with the socks. Is that their costume?
The sandals with the socks.
And my wife's like, yeah. You know, I talked to him about it, but yeah.
But they don't understand the socks are because your feet get all slammy. In the sandals, yeah, slimy. They're gooey.
Yeah, and it was hotter than hell, man. So
what are you drinking?
There. Oh, I'm drinking the Glenlivet.
Oh, right.
On the rocks. So we got there, we set up, we had some PA issues before we even started. Those were cleared up, and we did a quick sound check, and everything was good. And then we go into the bar, we're going to have some, what did we have, bourbon?
Yeah.
And we run into who? Who?
Reinhardt. Isn't that his name?
Yeah, I guess so.
Reinhardt?
I used to work with him, and you used to do what
John
with him?
John Reinhardt or something? I used to play football with him.
Used to play football with him. Oh, I shot hoops with him, too, in like pickup games and shit. And then later on...
Not the European football, the real man
Yeah,
game.
The real man football.
Football, American style.
And, so we haven't seen the guy in, what, 20 years?
Oh, yeah, at least.
At least 20 years.
At least. More than that, probably.
He recognized you. He didn't recognize
me.
But he did remember my name after I told him who I was. He remembered my name.
Right.
So that was sweet. And then he said, hey, man, he was so impressed with the band that he's like, you got to give me, like, an email address or something. So I gave him TotalTalkNonsense.com.
Nice.
So maybe he'll become a listener.
Yeah, he was only going to stay for a little bit, and then he called
the
wife and
said,
we got to watch these guys, man.
The wife came over.
We had a lot of people there, too.
Yeah, and they stayed. Last year we played there, and I don't remember people staying. No. I remember people leaving.
They were done. They were like, oh, fuck this.
But this year they stayed, and it was really hot, too, and they stayed. So it was good. It was a fun gig.
It was the light show.
The light show? You think that's what it was?
That's probably it. Yeah.
I thought it was the costumes.
Our $40 lights and the costumes, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was the costumes. Oh, we had a... and once again, no set list. Rick likes to just shoot from the hip, if you will. And so my strategy, what I try to do, is to pin him down on anything at any time. Like before we even start the first set. Hey, Rick,
so what
are you thinking?
What
are you thinking? First three songs, what are you thinking? And I cannot get him to even give me three songs anymore.
I don't know
anymore.
Why you try, man. I think I
told
you from the get-go.
I try.
From the very first day, I think I told you, don't expect a set list.
I did get three songs out of him for the first set.
Be prepared.
He played the first one, and then he scratched the second two and just played whatever he wanted. So then even after every song, I'm like, hey, Rick, hey, come on. What are you thinking? And then I'll shout something out. Hey, how about this one? So I guess that got to him during the second set.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what was interesting about the second set? Back in September 18th, when we played the Wabash Tap, he went ahead and played, what the hell?
Rock and Roll Girl.
And you and I looked at each other, like, what the fuck is he playing? and he was screaming it at us, but his guitar was playing. We couldn't hear him. So we didn't know what he was playing. We didn't come in on time. He got upset. He put the guitar down, and that was it.
Yeah.
He quit the band. We were done. We were over. Then he came back into the band, so we started the band up together. And then the second set, do you know what song it was that he lost it on?
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Girl.
Yeah, but yeah. I was ready to play.
I was ready to play. I knew what it was.
You can't just start playing and think, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. I know where the one is. He knows where it is because he started it. That's how stupid he is. And all right. I told him, too.
So
I said, you dick.
I thought he was having flashbacks.
Oh, the old John is back in the band,
because,
he said.
Oh, did he?
He never left.
Was that on stage? He
said
that?
Yeah, then he threw the list at you.
He started playing it, and then he stopped. And then we're like, hey, come on, what's going on? Let's go. And, then he... Yeah, you pick the songs from now on!
He goes, if you'd listen to me...
So I did. I threw a bunch of songs at him, and he went ahead and played Clocks. And then we took it from there.
Yeah, I don't understand those temper tantrums.
So I don't even know how to approach this anymore. I would like to know what we're playing before he starts playing. That would help me. But
I think we played our last gig.
You think so?
No, I'm kidding.
Here's what we need to do. We need to get big paper with big fonts. And we do, like, what, 120 songs?
I told you, the song wheel.
The song wheel. Or we just post the shit. I think what he gets frustrated about is he can't remember some of the songs that he wants to do.
It's a lot of things. It's that. It's, he's you know, he wants to feel the crowd out and see if, you know, because right away, because there were so many people, we started blowing through all of our hot shit. I'm like, oh, I hate when we do this, you know. But he wanted them to stay there. So he was, you know, some of our stuff. I don't think every song is really good, especially the Beatles songs.
You don't like those?
I hate them.
You hate those
Beatles
songs.
I fucking hate those songs. But, you know, I bite my tongue and play them and sing and do all that stuff.
The only one I like is Imagine.
Oh, I had trouble with that one. I was having a hard time playing that.
Yeah, and this was, I've played with you not a lot. I mean, Rick has played with you many more times than I have, but we've been playing together for 15 years on and off.
Yeah.
And, you really had trouble the first set. So, I think it was the heat or
no.
What was it? What was going on?
Kick drum was just not there, man. It was not there.
It was not there.
So, I got the bass, I got the guitar blaring in my ears. Kick drum, I can't even hear. I could feel myself hitting it, but I can't hear it. And the monitors are crackling and making all this noise. So I couldn't concentrate because I was worried about that was going out to the crowd. And even Tony came up and said, yeah, man, that speaker sounds like it's blown. And it was just your bass was going crazy. Scott's bass was cranking through. And the subwoofers were going, yeah, it was fucking horrible. But I just kicked it back a little bit and it was fine. But I thought the gig eventually ramped up to something.
Yeah, and everybody
there
was really enjoying it. And even some people who had just seen us the very first time, Mr. Schmuel was there. And Mr. Schmuel said, yeah, they were pretty good. You got lucky tonight.
You got lucky. Listen,
you got lucky.
What a dick.
Hey, I'm just being honest.
You got lucky. You know, if you got nothing nice to say, just shut your mouth.
Well, you know, and the whole set list thing, I finally, after a year and a half, I think I know all 120 songs.
Yeah.
So I'm good at that. And what I could practice is I could put my iTunes on shuffle.
Yeah.
Or my iPod, if I can get that fucking thing to work. And then I could put it on shuffle and just see if I can play whatever's playing. You know what I'm saying? And I can practice my transitions that way.
Right.
There was one song that Rick started out that I had a backing vocal part on. And I was at the back of the stage, and he started it, and I had to run up like a sissy. the mic to get there in time to start singing. So I didn't appreciate that.
I know. You look like Johnny Depp running across the beach.
Yeah.
I
don't want to look
Pirates
queer,
of the
man.
Caribbean. Part two.
I want to try to look like a man.
He, one of the ideas I had was we have a list, we laminate it, and we number the songs, and then Rick just calls out the number.
Nice.
Red, like 27. Like football commands. Blue, 38. Blue, 38. Roger, Dodger. And then we play. Nice. You know, nobody knows what it is, though, because it's code.
So I'd have to memorize it, or what?
No, it'd be on that
little index card?
Yeah. It would be laminated. You never add another song to it again.
No, I would like that.
Yeah, and then we packed that shit up, and I started feeling nauseated.
How come?
From the heat.
Weren't you drinking, man? Weren't you staying hydrated?
Yeah, I was, but I was still, you know, your body on the inside gets hot, and it matches the outside.
Oh, yeah.
It was hot. And you start feeling sickly.
So. It was brutally hot. But how about those fans for sticking around in that brutally hot heat? I mean, when we
dancing
first got
dirty.
There, there was a little bit of a breeze, but then nothing.
Dancing,
there was nothing.
Yeah, dancing dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
There were some 50-year-olds out there dancing dirty, John. Yeah. That was...
And Rick even comes up to the mic and goes, I feel dirty.
Oh, Marsha.
Like, I feel dirty.
Yeah, I said a name there. I might have to bonk that. So anyway,
like, dude, you said it about 100 times in 50 other podcasts.
So the lovely wife said she came over to you guys, you and Rick.
Yeah.
And no, maybe she was just talking to you.
Just me.
Just you. Just and me. Rick came over and said, "Oh man, I still got it. I still got it."
Oh yeah.
And she looked at him, and he was like, Yeah, you know, but I'm married and all.
So. Right, right. The picking up the chick thing.
Right.
Where he got cock blocked, is what he said. Right in front of your wife. Did you see Mike? He cock blocked me.
Mike who?
The motorcycle dude.
Cock blocked him?
Yeah.
With which girl?
With that redhead that was down there.
Oh, the redhead,
Rick
yeah.
was picking her up. And
Rick's got a thing for redheads.
Yeah. Picking her up, and all of a sudden, here comes Mike and says something to her like, "Hey, you want to go back to my place?" And she just turned around and walked away, and Rick's like, "What the f-? He's fucking cock blocked me, man." And turns around, "Did you see that?" And your wife's talking to me. "He just cock blocked me. I was talking to that chick, you know? And I still got it. I still got it, you know?" And you know, I'm married and all. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. Right. Okay.
Right.
Thanks for coming.
Right. So she got a kick out of that. Lovely.
The lovely said
the proper.
Her friends were really digging the drummer.
Oh, no. Yeah. How could they not? Especially because they weren't there the first set.
Thank God. Yeah, that was a struggle.
Oh, so Rick mentioned a guy from Murphy's was coming over.
Yeah.
Or a girl, or I don't know.
Yeah, they did.
But they were there for 2 minutes and they left.
We played Kumbaya and it scared them away.
So maybe we'll play there. We don't know. But.
We played in a religious song sacrilegiously.
We could have another block party gig.
Right.
Because one of the wife's friends said they were totally digging us. The whole table at the. Well, you know, now that I think about it, she's like their boss. So what are they going to say, you know?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, they sucked. Like Mr. Schmuel would say. Oh, yeah, they were great. Maybe if I...
No, he's subtle.
Have a block party. They could play at the block party. Yeah, that would be great. Hey, no, we'll call you. Don't call us. We'll call you.
Well, you got lucky this time because they really suck ass, Norman. I'm just being honest.
Hey, what are you? You don't want me to be honest?
You want me to lie? Yeah. No, we don't think you are credible, a good judge of anything. So that's what you got to take it with that kind of grain of salt.
No doubt.
It's all salt.
Oh, and the other cool thing about that trackside gig is the bar's right inside. And we get whatever we want. as opposed to playing during the day, you have to run like 1,000 yards to turn in some coupons for some crappy food. Here, we get whatever we want, but the bad part is you got to stand in line with everybody else.
Correct.
Yeah.
We don't get the preferential treatment.
No doubt. But we got all the drinks we wanted.
Yeah.
Whatever we wanted, yeah.
No doubt. And then Reinhardt was still hooking us up when we were on stage.
Bourbon and Coke. I was drinking that. I haven't drank that in a long time.
Hooking me up with some brouhahas.
Brouhahas, yeah. He's all right, man.
No doubt, John.
He's a little liquored up, though, wasn't he? Ah. He's got that liquored thing going.
Like he's like that all the time thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, but actually, he was exactly the same as I remember him.
Yeah.
Playing football with Jay.
J.G. Lombardo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cazzotto.
Cazzotto.
I used to play with those guys.
Yeah.
Play some football.
That's right.
No pads. And it would start out touch, and then it would turn into sex. I mean, what am I saying? No. It would start out that, and
admit
then...
Admit it, you're totally and completely gay.
No, I'm not. It would turn into tackle, and then somebody would get a fucking broken collarbone, and then we'd have to stop playing.
All right, man. Any closing thoughts on the gig? We don't have any. We don't have any scheduled.
No.
So it could be the last gig. Who knows?
Then we went to Rick's Meat Fest yesterday.
Oh, Meat Fest, yeah.
And that was hotter than fucking hell.
Hotter than hell. Yeah.
Last year was like double or triple the people that he had this year.
Because it was so hot?
It was so hot, yeah.
Yeah.
But I stayed till like midnight.
Midnight? Really?
Yeah.
Well, you were a bachelor, right?
Yeah. Oh, I was pounding some stuff. And then I got in the car and turned the air on. And I was like, oh I don't know if I should drive home.
But you did anyway,
did,
right?
Yeah.
Nice. That's nice.
Well, I got every green on Northwest Highway.
You're luckier than Mel Gibson. And we'll get into that in part two.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right, I got some comments here if you want me to read them off.
Oh, no doubt. Love the comments. We got new comments? Really?
Yeah.
I was checking the Punky VDDJ, whatever that lame-ass one that's in front in the music category.
Yeah.
I've been watching that. Every 2 days, I see what the voting is.
Yeah.
And Punky will get like 10 legit votes.
Right.
And then the other one will go up by 8.
Wow.
Illegitimate votes. You know what I'm saying?
Those fuckers.
So they're always staying a step ahead of the punksters.
Wow.
The great Pauly B and Tony Hearn.
Of Punky Radio.
Oh, and this week they're going to get to us, John.
Right.
Last week they recapped the word whore, whore, and Preston.
And I found out John's a stand-up guy and Scott's a big swimming weirdo.
Oh, hold on.
Weirdo.
Wait a minute. We brought a comfy clip.
A cumplip?
We brought a punky clip in. It's called Slow-Mo Pogo.
Slow-mo pogo.
Let's get to that before we get to comments. Slow-mo pogo.
All right.
Do you have that one handy?
Right. Yes. While I was in the States that we worked it out, I accidentally discovered, I think it was in the States, so it might have been before we left, I can't remember, the slow-mo pogo.
Right.
The slow-mo pogo, it's what slightly older people do, like myself, when they still want to dance.
You could stop it
really
now.
But they got the energy.
I don't really care what he has to say about that. Here's what he said before, maybe in the States or before we left, he came up with the slow-mo pogo. Now, my recollection says that the slow-mo pogo was a creation that had a co-creator, John. And that co-creator was you. And it happened on a Friday evening?
Yeah, we were talking about, he was talking about something clearly, and he was explaining the dance that either he or somebody was doing, and I said the pogo, and he goes no it was much slower, slow motion. Oh yeah, slow-mo pogo. It was something like that. It might even be on the podcast. I'll have to go back and listen.
We do
to
talk
it.
About the slow-mo pogo on the podcast. I don't think we gave the definition. I don't think we talked about the its inception.
It could have been in the van when we were coming back home.
Could have been in the van. No, I remember hearing it out when we were out that night.
Was this Friday?
So it must have happened before that.
Oh, okay. So I know we talked about it, I think, briefly on the way home. And he was going to include it into the Punky Dictionary.
Okay, so there's two things that may have happened here. One is we think that Pauly B can handle his liquor, but he really can't because he's a blackout drunk. And he can't remember you being involved in the creation of Slow Mo Pogo at all. Or the other one is he's just like Robin Williams.
Oh, God.
That motherfucker.
Well, he's
he just steals stuff.
He's a narcissist.
Narcissist.
He's he's a comedian.
Well, I'm all about that. I'm a narcissist.
Yeah, totally. You're a narcissist. You're Machiavellian.
I'm a cynical narcissist, Machiavellian.
You're right. You got it, man. You nailed it. Cynical, narcissistic, Machiavellian prick. You forgot that part.
Well, I was listening to Penn Jillette.
Yeah.
And he said somebody was, I think he had Matt Stone on.
Yeah.
And they were talking about skeptic versus cynic.
Cynic, yeah.
And he's like, there's a very clear distinction here.
Oh, definitely.
And you want to make sure it's skeptic is good, cynic is bad.
Bad, yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm a fucking cynic. How could you not be a cynic? How could any intelligent person, and I think Penn Jillette is one of the more intelligent people on the planet. How could he not be a cynic, John?
Be cynical?
I've been struggling with this. And what it means, basically, cynic, all it means is that you think that everybody is out for themselves.
No. You've made up your mind, period.
Oh, made up your mind.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess
skeptical.
I'm not a cynic.
Skeptic.
I do think everybody is out for themselves. I think everybody is out for themselves. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, then you're skeptical.
But I think everybody is out for themselves.
Yeah. You're skeptical, then.
Oh.
You're skeptical.
Well, there's an even finer distinction.
He doesn't think that, though. Well, actually, his philosophy is like the Randroid philosophy, which is everybody should be out for themselves and serve their own self-interest, and then everything will be fine.
Everybody does.
Right. That's no doubt. I mean, even if you give to charity, you're serving your own self-interest.
Well, there was a story about it. The Levitt family that gave $400,000 to some charity.
Yeah.
And in turn, what happened is the money got funneled back to them in rent payments for housing at a college campus.
Yeah.
So they got the tax benefit and they got the money back. I mean, come on!
But I'm talking about the emotional currency.
Emotional currency.
Yeah, where you're filling that gap of guilt when you do donate. And you say, I feel so good for the wrong reasons. I feel so good. Well, are the right reasons?
To help society, mankind.
And what do you get for that?
You get a big tax benefit and a really good feeling.
That would be for all the wrong reasons. The right reasons would be, morally, you should you do it because it's the right thing to do to help your fellow mankind.
Right.
But in the end, most of the time, well, I don't know for sure because I'm skeptical.
We hear stories all the time about people taking charitable donations and spending it for their own.
Katrina victims.
Oh, and all the wasted money.
Big screen TVs and plasma. The government
renting Carnival cruise lines.
Yeah, right.
It's ridiculous, John.
Goddamn
and I don't know
ridiculous.
How you can add. I have an ounce of cynicalism in me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, how could Penn. And I was thinking about this, so I was thinking, you know why he's not? Why he's still a skeptic and not a cynic? Because he's in show business.
Yeah, he doesn't live in the real world.
Right. He's successful in show business.
Not even close.
So most of the people that come and approach him are very positive and heaping praise on him. That's my theory. He does have stories about him approaching other people to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But
never the other way around.
Right.
He's the prima donna.
Right. So that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, then. I'm sorry. Let's get back into comments. Getting off on a tangent.
All right. This one says, this one comes from Grant. Could horrible be the new Jesus Christ?
It could be.
This one here, insert boner joke here. Hey, fellers. Can't believe I let almost the whole month slip by without inserting my stinking wet vote into your podcastic vaginas. Rolling on the floor, laughing my fucking ass off. Submitted by Matt Cleary. I think we have a, he sent us a voicemail.
Let's hear that.
Check it out.
What's up, Johnners and Scotters? Nothing much going on here. This is Matt. I was on my way home from work, and I was bored because my radio isn't working in my fucking car. So anyway, just thinking of you fellers. All right. I love you guys. I love you.
Bye. Admit it. You're totally and completely gay.
All right.
Oh, that reminds me, John. Can we record a voice message off my cell phone?
What do you mean?
Rick left me a message.
Yeah.
And I need to record it and convert it to MP3 so that we could play it on the show.
We could try.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about that after the show.
Okay.
Now, speaking, I got this email from Matt. Is it the same Matt?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know what Matt's email address is? Matt Cleary?
Matt Cleary 85 at something.
Oh, I got this one from Matt from TU Towers at Comcast.net. He says, hey, I think that both you guys kick a lot of ass. I love your rants about the W because basically... I'm starting to hate him as much as what libertarians do. And I must say that you guys help convince me that the W basically is fucking America and it's asshole. But the real reason I'm sending in an email, I'm attempting to start up a podcast.
Wow.
With a couple of buddies like you do. Guys, about irrelevant shit and whatnot, but I can't seem to find a good program. But yet, also, I'm not exactly the richest guy in the block. Do you guys know of any good recording programs that could give me the same quality that you guys get? Keep fucking ass. Wait a minute. Keep kicking fucking ass.
Oh, yeah, that could be...
So can you answer his question there?
This could be this guy here. Hey, dudes, I must admit right now, haven't heard any of your music, but I love your show. You guys kick so much fucking ass that it's really not even funny. You guys help me see how terrible the W really is fucking America in the ass. I sent my email to Scott, which I probably shouldn't have done since he doesn't even check it. So I'll ask it. I'll ask it on here. But do you guys know any programs that either are free or don't cost much that you can use to record audio with for a podcast?
Can you hook them up there, John?
Well, I sent him back a reply and said you could use Audacity. And he said he already was. His problem is recording Skype. And it's a little tough when you're using the same computer to record your show in Skype. But there are some programs.
Here's what you do. No, forget that, John. I'm going to give him the advice right now. You get a co-host that has a computer, all right? And you make him bring it over. That's what you do.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. Co-host with a computer, and then you got two. Or you just record on a totally separate device, and then you're all set. So if you got like an iRiver, or you got any kind of MP3 player, even a cassette deck, and you want to feed it back into the PC later and then upload it, that's a way to do it too. But to do it, unless you have like stereo mix, you could do it with the stereo mix. The problem is that it's always going to be tough to get the level for the Skype caller.
All right, man, just to answer his question, is there a program he can get?
Yeah.
What is it?
I can't remember.
All right.
I can't remember right this minute, but I will send it to you. It's actually Professor Tom sent it to me. It's pretty cool. It's called Pamela. That's what it's called, I believe.
Pamela.
I believe it's called Pamela.
There you go.
And it's like $20 or something online.
$20. That's inexpensive.
What it does is it just sets you up to do virtual, like a virtual, short-term
virtual
memory.
Virtual fuck?
No, it's like virtual, like a virtual mixing board. So you can route, patch, virtual patch base. So you can patch certain programs to certain, you know, sound levels. So you can raise them and lower them so they're equal. to his own. But anyways, he said the same thing. He wanted to get into podcasting too. So if you guys could, thanks. And keep kicking America back on track and getting the fucking W out of that goddamn Oval Office and get someone better in there.
We'll get to that in part three, but I am just so unimpressed with America's general malaise, John.
Malaise?
Malaise.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in part three.
Here's something I found interesting on the forum. I don't know if you've been keeping up with it, but there's been this thing going back and forth on the old Daisy thread where she put a vote up there about having a chat room for...
And Daisy's back.
Yeah. So she starts going in there and she starts giving some shit about a certain podcaster's balls being locked up. And yeah. I believe she was talking
Tony
about
Hearn?
You because it turned out
Is
to
it
be...
Is Tony Hearn she's
no,
talking about?
No, because your name finally came up. And of course she said, no disrespect to Scott or his lovely wife. But then Pauly B chimes in. Scott's wife uses his balls as a flotation device because she isn't a strong swimmer and can't keep up with his incredible man from Atlantis web hands and feet. He's happy to lose them, however, as it makes him extra streamlined. He can actually swim faster than the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, that's funny, John.
I thought it was hilarious.
Thanks for bringing that up. And really, it's not accurate at all.
Flotation.
In a pool, my wife has trouble keeping up with me, but in open water, she does not. And I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
Because I'm all about mechanics, John. I'm all about the start and the turns.
Right.
Because I got like a 48-inch vertical. So when I push off the wall, I push halfway across the pool.
Yeah.
And then I can start swimming again. So in a pool, nobody can touch me, John.
Yeah.
In open water,
she can kick your ass.
Yeah, she can. She can either at least stay with me or overtake me.
My wife's pretty goddamn good too, man. She was doing the butterfly in her parents' pool last time we were there.
Nice.
She could still do it. Teaching the daughter how to do it. But that's it. That's all I got. That's all we got for part one, Scott.
That's it for part
one?
Yeah,
we got to run.
What about phone messages? Didn't we get any
phone? I played it.
Oh, we only got one.
We get one a month.
Okay.
Nobody ever likes to call
Maybe because we never give out our
number.
That
could be true. Because I keep forgetting it. It's 847.
Shit.
847-TTN-GIZ, G-I-Z-D, or 847-886-4493, 847-886-4493. You can call the show, leave a message. Hope sometimes we're on there. A lot of people have been signing up to be part of our list, and go ahead and keep doing that. Every once in a while I'm on there. So even if it looks like I'm off line, I'm usually doing something, but if you just pop in a message or something, I might be there, and if I answer, I'll be able to answer your call. Otherwise, just leave a message, drunk or sober or whatever you want to do. Otherwise, just hang on after you listen to this. Click on the second part, and we'll take you into part two.
Thank you for listening to part one of AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. Part two is just a click away.